3, 2, 1.
Welcome to It's Fabulous!
True personal story.
It's Fabulous!
Ex Fabula is a Milwaukee nonprofit committed to strengthening community bonds through the art of storytelling.
And that, of course, means it's time for Ex Fabula Radio on Lake Effect Weekend. I'm Rachel Owens, joined by Ex Fabula's Carolina Mulvey-Vidala. Hope I didn't butcher your name too much. Welcome. This is your first time with us.
Yeah, nice to be here.
And actually, this week, you're one of our storytellers as well. So yeah. We'll get to that in a minute. But first, let's talk about the theme. So this week's theme is immigration. That's one that seems to grow only ever more important, both here in the U.S. and across the globe.
Yeah, it's been prevalent in media, especially, and I've noticed that there's been a lot of hostility in policy and everything. So it is definitely something we need to start talking about a little bit more.
What prompted you to tell your story?
I was encouraged by my staff last year to tell a story at the Whiteness and Privilege Fellowship event at the Workshop Architects as part of our fellowship program. And so I took a chance to share a pretty personal story there.
Yeah, it's very powerful, as people will hear. And after the story, we can mention an upcoming event that ties directly into this theme as well. But first, let's just go ahead and hear your story.
All right. So I sort of want to set the scene. So it was back in August, a Saturday in August, where I was going into work, where I was a waitress. It was a restaurant on Brady Street that I worked at for a couple years. So it was the day after a friend's funeral, and so I wasn't exactly, if you can imagine, in the best mood. And I go in, and I'm sort of already really upset. And I am in the back, taking my time for silence. And I come out, and I see my coworker. And this is someone that I've known for probably 4 years, who I've told all of my family history, myself, everything about myself. So he looks me straight in the eye and he says, "Carolina, aren't you excited for Donald Trump to be president so you'll get deported?" I looked at him and I said, really, all I said was, "I really hope you're having a better day." So I left. And I ended up not working the rest of my shift that day. If you can imagine, I was pretty upset with everything. And so I really had to sort of take a step back and wonder why I was kind of taken back by this comment that he made me, realizing that it was sort of the first moment in my life where my ethnicity was so aggressively commented to me in such an aggressive way. And so I want to give a little backstory. I am from Chile, and so I'm from a really small village in Chile, actually. And so when we immigrated here in 1996, it was me and my mom, my dad, my siblings, who are much more brown than me. And I had grown up really experiencing secondhand a lot of injustice, a lot of micro and macro aggressions, really macro, all from my older brother getting detained at TSP after 9/11 to an interviewer at my sister's Java interview saying, "I'm really surprised you have a bachelor's degree." And so I grew up witnessing all this, and then I sort of took a step back, hid behind the fact that I could just pass as white, that I could just go to school and fit in, because that's what I so desperately wanted to do. And so I didn't really acknowledge the fact that while I was hiding behind my whiteness, I was also hiding my culture and my history and my family along with it. And so when I would view these injustices, I was more of a bystander than someone directly affected. And so I had a conversation with a friend of mine the other day who immigrated here from Mexico with his mom. He's been living here since he was 9 years old, and so he's 30 now, and he grew up in Green Bay. And he was talking to me about his experience immigrating here, the difficulty, him and his mom always trying to make a better life for them, and always saying every year, it's going to get better, every year it's going to get better, it's going to keep getting better. And it didn't for them. And so I'm listening to him tell me this story, and I'm sort of thinking, wow, I sound a lot like your mom. Because every time I talk to my mother about, you know, all of these different things, I seem to sound like a broken record too, where I say, yeah, mom, it'll get better. Every year will get better, it's fine. Or when I talk to my sister, who does a lot of work with social justice and immigration, we're always kind of taken back by the fact that, you know, it's not getting better. And so when I am confronted with someone like my coworker and the hatred that he spewed at me at that moment and the power that he had over me, it really made me reflect on the fact that things aren't getting better as often as we would like to believe so.
So that was a story that I told at the Whiteness and Privilege Fellowship event last year at Workshop Architects, part of our fellowship program.
Yeah, that was powerful. I mean, it's so disenchanting to hear that even though you think things are changing or they should be changing, they're really not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that story. And along those lines, the theme for today is immigration, and you have an upcoming story slam next week, I believe.
Yeah, we have an event on Monday, June 4th at Peddler's Hall in Bayview. We partnered with the Bayview Historical Society to bring about storytellers to talk about immigration to Bayview specifically and how people's families immigrated there. And that's going to be from 6:30 to 8:30.
Okay, wonderful. A lot of us thought that the season was completely over. It's nice to know there's one more chance
this
to get in.
This is our last event.
All right, awesome. Okay, so now we'll just jump right into the second story. And this is a long and powerful story as well, told by Brian Chu. However, we're only going to have time to air the first half of it, but listeners will be able to hear the full story on our website, wuwm.com. So anything you want to say about this story before we head in?
Yeah, you really don't want to miss this full story. It's really really, really powerful. I had the pleasure of hearing it at a curated event that we did last year as well. And Brian's just such an amazing storyteller and such an amazing organizer and person that you definitely don't want to miss it.
All right, here we go.
So it was 1983. I was 10 years old. I was living in Taiwan. My mom was taking my brother and me on a two-week tour of the United States. And my dad was already in the United States on business. He would meet us at the tour and join us at the tour. So I've been reading the travel brochure, and it was very exciting. It was awesome. You know, the tour, it was like 3 days in Hawaii and then San Francisco and Yosemite, Las Vegas and LA, which of course meant Disneyland. So it was also my first time outside of Taiwan and also my first time on the airplane. So the tour group from Taiwan booked up most of that Continental Airlines flight. So during the flight, the kids started running around in packs around the airplane. You know, the only thing I knew how to say in English back then was one soda, because you know it gets you one free soda. So the plane landed in Honolulu. We checked into the hotel. We unpacked our bags. My mom sat me and my brother down and said, by the way, we're staying in the United States, you know, for good. So my life flashed in front of my eyes, all 10 years of it. and I said, how is this happening? You know, what about my friends? What about this girl I liked? What about my stuff? Where's all my stuff? And my brother, who is 1 year older but infinitely wiser, rolled his eyes and said, how can you not see this coming? My parents packed everything. They sold the house. They sold the car. I said, I thought international travel was really, really expensive. So at the end of the tour, my dad showed up in a gigantic American car, the Pontiac Phoenix, and drove us to our new home. Apparently, he's been preparing for our arrival. He's gotten us an apartment. He bought a restaurant with our savings, and he fixed up our immigration paperwork. So I guess this is where we're going to grow up, you know, in South County, San Diego, 5 miles north of the Mexican border. Now, being right next to the border, in a border town, when I started school, nobody in school spoke my native language, and I was constantly trying to figure out if I was learning English or Espanol. Some of the kids are undocumented from Mexico, two of them, Elias and Stefano. They became my best friends. I feel like I'm privileged with this illegal immigration status that it's my duty to stand up for them, to make sure nobody picks on them. Every time the other kids would call them wetback, I would step up and people would back off because everybody thought I knew karate. So that's where I grew up. We spoke Spanglish. We ate machaca with eggs for breakfast. We ate menudo on Saturdays. At night, I would listen to radio coming from the other side of the border, playing like corrido or ranchera music, you know, la música mexicana. You know it's 11 o'clock when the station identification comes on. And then I would just stop everything I'm doing and I repeat after the radio. Estéreo, 107.9, 9, 9. See, that was my hometown now. I would defend it with my karate. I would defend it with everything I got. So I was in high school when the Berlin Wall fell. Nelson Mandela was taking down apartheid in South Africa. People were everywhere standing up for the rights, and I was swept up. For my college application, I wrote an essay about how, if accepted into UC San Diego, I was going to use my education. I was going to dedicate my life to this, standing up for justice and democracy and all that good stuff. And I sent in that essay, I was really proud of myself. That night when my parents came home from the restaurant, couldn't wait to tell them, and then I just saw blood drain from their faces. At first we argued about the being politically active. I said, hey, you did it in Taiwan, why couldn't I do it here? So they sat me down again, and they said, yeah, you're actually an illegal immigrant. Apparently my parents have screwed up the immigration paperwork a few years back. They just didn't bother to tell me. So I got that familiar feeling of a kind of shock and betrayal and a nagging feeling that my brother probably figured this out already.
And that was the first half of Brian Chu's story about immigration. You can find the second half as well on our website, wuwm.com. And you're going to want to listen to the full story because that story continues to go in unexpected directions. And as we heard, he's really a great storyteller, a very dynamic presence on stage.
Yeah, Brian was part of the fellowship the year prior to mine. And so he has been crafting this one specific story for a really long time. And I really had the privilege of hearing a story at a curated event that we did last year. And Brian's just a really great, dynamic, powerful, passionate person and storyteller.
And that really seems to get into the complexities of immigration as well.
Exactly.
And why there is so much to talk about.
Yeah, it's very nuanced, very messy.
And for folks wishing to see some more live storytelling, looks like they're in luck. So, Carolina, where can listeners check that out?
We have our events at Bayview at Puddler's Hall on June 4th. It's going to be from 6:30 to 8:30. The theme is Immigration to Bayview, partnering with the Bayview Historical Society.
All right. And we'll find more details at wuwm.com as well as xfabula.org. Well, thanks so much for joining us today, Carolina, and for sharing your story, of course.
Thank you.
All right. Check you next week.